Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. And suddenly I'm feeling very, very old this morning as Paul and I are just sitting here talking about a conversation I had recently, and there was nothing about it that made me feel young. So anyway, this message, as Paul said, is brought to you by AARP. So anyway, my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and this is WMIE 91.5 FM, the Refresh Radio program. We're thankful you have chosen to spend the next half hour with us as we journey through God's Word, and I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to our Sunday morning service at 10:30. We have Sunday school at 9:30. This Sunday is Communion Sunday. It is also Pentecost Sunday, and we are believing that the Holy Spirit has not stopped moving in our community, and we're asking Him to move in our community the way He did in biblical communities, and looking forward to what God is going to do on Sunday. So I'd love to invite you out to our services. We refer to our gatherings as services, and that's been as many churches as I've ever been a part of. But I want you to know that service is not just a gathering together at church at a certain point in time, but when you're out in the community, you can also be a service to God throughout the community, whether that is offering to pray for someone in an inconspicuous manner. Here's a newsflash for you. You don't have to close your eyes to pray. You don't have to stop and stand still or anything like that. You can be praying while you are going about your business. Everybody's talking to somebody, and now with Bluetooth technology, a person can look like he's talking to himself, but in actuality, he's having a conversation with someone, and you just are unaware of all of the details of the conversation. So I just want to encourage you to move beyond the four walls of the church, and let's get out into the harvest field where the harvest is truly great. We've talked about that. And so the Holy Spirit is not just for making saints feel better or having a dynamic worship encounter. The Holy Spirit is to empower God's people to be witnesses in the community where people who need to know Jesus can come to find Jesus. So love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing Sunday morning at 10:30. Today we are going to go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And we're going to begin talking about a couple of situations where you're going to be familiar with the passage, but you might not have connected the two, and you may have never heard anything about these situations other than just quoting them. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 4 and begin reading at verse number 16, just to give us a little bit of context before we get into the discussion itself. Verse number 16, Luke chapter 4 says, "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you, truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent, except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, none of them was cleansed, except Naaman the Syrian." So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then, passing through the midst of them, he went his way. So Jesus shows up in Nazareth. It was the place where he had been brought up, and he goes to the synagogue, and he stands up, he reads the scripture, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and then he closes the book, and everybody's looking at him. Everybody in the community would have known him, and he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And you would think that that would be great. I think it's a marvelous thing whenever you get to see a promise that actually comes to pass. I've told on the radio program here a number of times about running into a pastor, and we were having a conversation about some of the tumultuous activities that were going on in the Middle East, and he simply looked at me and said, "Bob, the Word of God has got to come to pass." And what happens a lot of times is that we know the Word of God, we expect that it is going to come to pass, we just don't expect that it's going to come to pass in our lifetime. So we knew that there was a falling away from faith that was prophesied in the scripture. We just weren't really expecting that it was going to be falling off of a cliff the way that it has here in the last 10 to 20 years. It's been moving downhill pretty good over the last few decades, but over the past 10 to 20 years, it's been like off of the cliff. And the Word of God prophesied that. Does that mean it's all doom and gloom? No, I tell you that the fields are still white unto harvest. So the thing is, when he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," they heard what he said. They liked what he said. The problem wasn't with what he declared. The problem was they knew him. "Is this not Joseph's son?" Joseph wasn't a rabbi. He was a carpenter. "Is this not Joseph's son?" You know, in another place it says, where did he get this kind of wisdom? Now, the thing is that when he prophesied, when he spoke, he did so in such a manner that people would hang on his every word. He was a fabulous teacher. Even the people who went to arrest him one time said, "Nobody ever talked like that guy talks. Y'all don't talk the way that guy talks." And they said, have you been, you know, deceived too? Have any of the leadership, have they started following this guy?" And their presumed answer was no. What they didn't know was that the actual answer was yes. There were some followers of Jesus in that meeting. So this familiarity with who Jesus is sets these people up for a spiritual blind spot. It sets them up not to be able to perceive what is going on in their midst. So he knew what they were saying, and so he said to them, "You are surely going to say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" And so on the cross, they were saying, you know, if you are who you say you are, then come down off the cross and we will believe in you. They weren't going to believe in him. If you haven't believed in God with the evidence you've seen already, then additional evidence is not going to change your mind. You will explain it away just the same as you have some of the other things that you've seen and heard. You need the Holy Spirit to say, you know what? Jesus is the Savior of the world, and you need Jesus in your life. Okay, you would think that after decades in the ministry, that, you know, maybe you'd get to a place where you say, oh, we got this, we don't need it. No, I'm here to tell you, I need Jesus more today than I needed him, and I needed him for everything before. I need him just as much now as I've always needed him. Have I got a little bit more experience? Yes, I have a lot more experience knowing how much I need Jesus. So whenever you are in this situation, people that are familiar with you, maybe you are related to them, there might have been cousins, there might have been classmates that were there, and they were hearing the reports that were taking place other places, and they're saying, do what you did there right here in your own hometown. So my pastor that I grew up under, he would have been probably in his 80s when he made this request of me, maybe late 70s, but I'm pretty sure he was in his 80s. And he said, Bob, I would like you to, you know, put your name in for consideration. My home church that I grew up in was in a pastoral transition. And he said, I would like for you to, you know, put your name in for consideration to be the pastor. And my response was, you know, I don't really think that that's a good idea. And I said, but I'm a man under authority. I don't sense agreement with that, but I'm a man under authority. And so I sought counsel from someone else, and they said, hey, you know, you don't know if God's in it or if he's not in it. And so you just put your name out there, and whatever happens, you just put it in the hands of God and see where that leads. And the reason that I did not think it was a great idea was because of this spiritual truth here, that people who are familiar with you may not necessarily respond to that level of authority and anointing that may be upon your life. You may thrive in another atmosphere. You might thrive in your Capernaum, and the people in your hometown say, well, how come you can't do that here? So that's the spiritual truth. It wasn't that Jesus' abilities were restricted in his hometown. The spiritual truth was the people in his hometown had limited themselves into being able to benefit from the supernatural ministry that Jesus was demonstrating all throughout Israel. Doesn't mean that there wasn't an occasional miracle or anything like that. It was just that these people had a major obstacle to get over, and it was their own familiarity with the boy Jesus, the little boy Jesus, the carpenter Jesus, the one who, you know, served, you know, the community up until he was 30, and then all of a sudden, you know, now there's this completely different dynamic that is on display. I remember having a conversation with someone, and they were telling me about a person that had a national, I'm assuming an international ministry. I don't remember that much, but I know that they travel nationally, and pretty sure that they travel internationally. And this person had been in the same community that that pastor was in, and they said he couldn't even find a youth group to speak to. You know, he was having a difficult time in the community in which his ministry was beginning to arise, but there was a familiarity there. And because of that, you know, he ended up traveling around and building this great reputation and stuff like that. And he does fine in that community now, but the community's got to be willing to recognize the anointing and the reality that the prophecies of God, the things that God has said about that he wants to do, are actually going to take place in this community. So he says, you're going to be asking me and telling me that you want me to do here what you've heard is done other places. So he goes on to spiritual truth number two. This is in Luke chapter 4, verse number 24. He says, then he said, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Okay, so this is very similar to what we were just talking about, in that there's a supernatural calling upon God, or a supernatural calling of God upon people's lives. And here's just a reality. They had to be born someplace. They had to come from someplace. And so he says that no prophet is accepted in his own country, or a prophet is without honor in his own country. There is a hurdle that people have to get over and say, you know what? I'm going to believe that God is able to utilize that person beyond my awareness of who they are. You know, you can hear every sermon that's preached from the Bible. You can hear about Moses, who was a fugitive in Egypt. He was a shepherd in the wilderness, and God said, you're just the man that I'm looking for to be a prophet to lead my people out of bondage. Okay? Pharaoh couldn't get over that. Pharaoh, you know, there were problems. Pharaoh knew his heritage. Pharaoh knew all that there was to know about him. And he had problems with that. Who are you as a slave to tell me as king what I'm going to do? Well, I'm nobody except for the mouthpiece of God in this situation, and this is what God has said. So you have David as a shepherd. Saul, his predecessor, kept his father's donkeys, except for when he lost them. You know, I'll tell you, look at Saul's life and David's life, and you will see that there were two completely different dynamics that took place. They both were very humble to begin with, but they had different abilities. You know, it said, you know, of Saul, hey, your dad has stopped worrying about the donkeys, now he's worried about you. And David's brothers said, all you do is take care of a few sheep out in the wilderness. They didn't realize the anointing and the preparation that God had been putting into David's life for all of this time. So let me ask you this question. What could God do with you? You say, wait a minute, I thought we were talking about our familiarity with other people around us, and we are, but I guarantee you, you've got secrets that you know about you that most other people don't know about you. And if we're not careful, we will fail to appreciate what God is doing in us, and we become the problem in our own life. I had a mini bike one time and was very young, and they ended up putting what they called a governor on the throttle to keep it from going too fast. Not because there was anything wrong with the mini bike going that fast. There was a problem with me handling the mini bike going that fast. So they wanted it to not be too dangerous. So they put a restriction on there. In NASCAR, they have a couple of racetracks, and the races that they have that happen there, I think there's two at each track, they're called restrictor plate races. Well, it keeps the vehicle from going as fast as it's able to go. They do that to try and create some excitement. And they also create a lot of dramatic wrecks that way. I want to encourage you today to take the restrictions off of who you are and what God can do through you. Could God use you to lead a person to Jesus? The answer is yes. Well, all I am, listen, men, I want to encourage you. Jesus knows what it was like to work with his hands. He was a carpenter. Could Jesus use a person that comes from the trades? The answer is yes. I'm not a preacher's son. I'm a pipe fitter's son. Could God use a pipe fitter's son? The answer is yes, not just in my case, but my brother's case, my sister's case. Listen, God can bring you from whatever past you had. You know, what I see that the world likes to do is the world is amazed at the transformative power of the gospel. And so if there was a person that was a drug addict, an alcoholic, an adulterer, if they were a thief, know a pastor that was he had actually killed somebody at some point in time. There are a number of people that had really monumental sins in the eyes of man, and God saved them, and people say, wow, look at what God is doing through those. But I want you to know that there are more people who were also transformed by the grace of God, but they didn't, you know, they were never into alcohol addiction or drug addiction or sex addiction or stealing or any of that sort of stuff. And Jesus brought them out. But a lot of times people say, well, I don't have that testimony that person's got. Don't restrict yourself. Don't put a cap on what an omnipotent God can do in a faithful vessel. He can make a masterpiece out of your life. So I tell people occasionally I get to go out and preach in other churches. It's not often. I used to be when I would go on vacation that my mother would say, oh, I'm so glad that you're here. By the way, the pastor wants you to preach. You know, one of the pastors at one point in time said, I know that you speak on the radio all the time and you preach all the time and you're on vacation, but I've given you enough trips here that you've not preached, and so you're preaching this Sunday. That was one of the last encounters that I had with him before he passed away. And I will tell you that one of the things that I noticed is when I'm preaching to my congregation, I've got people that I can look at, identify, and see that the message that God has me speaking at that point in time, whether I am communicating it clearly or not, I can get feedback from their eyes or their amens or whatever. When I go to another congregation and preach, I have to look for those situations. But the one thing about preaching at my parents' church, which was my home church, is there's been so many new people that came in that they're not all as familiar with me as some of the long timers that have known me since I was, 6 years old. But the other thing is, some of those people who've known me since I was six, and now they've seen that multiplied a few times over, now they see the faithfulness. They've seen what happened in a lot of the kids that I grew up with lives, and they've seen what happened in my life, and they appreciate the ministry. It doesn't have to, the familiarity with a person doesn't have to be a problem that prevents the supernatural if we will recognize that an omnipotent God can work, he can work through a donkey in Balaam's case, he can work through me, he can work through you. We just need to say, God, I don't care if you have to speak to me through my parents, if you have to speak to me through my kids, if you have to speak to me through somebody, if you want to use somebody, here I am, use me. God, I just want to see the kingdom of God advanced. So, I've been in Merritt Island for 29 years, and there are a lot of people who know of Merritt Assembly of God. They know me to some extent, and I want you to know, I still have not quit believing that there's going to be a supernatural move of God that impacts my life, impacts our church, and impacts our community. If God can do it in Capernaum, he can do it in Nazareth. If he can do it around the world, he can do it in America. If he can do it in other places in America, he can do it here in Brevard County. Let's take the lid off and say, God, we want to see you do great and mighty things. God bless you. You have a marvelous day. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the Refresh Radio program. Have a blessed day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I'm coming back.